This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, and I want to continue to take a look at the battle for identity, you could say. This week I've been reflecting on some of the passages from the New Testament, what the apostles passed on to each and every one of us about what's most important in this life and what was for them the anchor in their lives, what enabled them to live in joy, peace, confidence, to live lives of love in very, very difficult circumstances, the kind of circumstances none of us would really want to have for our own lives. They lived through lots of trial, lots of opposition. And St. Paul said, many sleepless nights, many beatings, rejection, ultimately martyrdom. The world tried to silence them. So it's the kind of life, as an American, you say, gee, I would never want to live that. I mean, what I want is the kind of life that I'm shaping for myself, a life of comfort and full of lots of fun, lots of entertainment, achieving kind of dreams and goals that I have. And I don't want any obstacles in my way. I kind of want to go from one glory to the next, as it were, in this world. And it's so puzzling. It's important to reflect on the contradiction between what they lived and what we live. They lived in, again, circumstances we wouldn't want for our lives, lots of hardship, lots of probably frustration, lots of difficulty, rejection, misunderstanding. We would prefer a life we can control that's well-planned, that we can secure our comfort, we can secure our happiness, as we would define it for ourselves. And when that drive or that pathway that we set up for ourselves, or that vision for our life, when it gets disrupted in some way, when upheaval happens and human difficulties happen, usually the circumstances that we find ourselves in then overwhelm us, kind of swamp us like a tsunami. And the circumstances that create disappointment and frustration end up dominating the way we experience and think about life. That's, ironically, it's not the way the apostles lived. Because God did something in them. They possessed something that could not be affected or changed by the circumstances they were living in. Circumstances really didn't matter. They were following in the footsteps of Jesus. And if you have had a chance to tune in the program this week, I've been talking a lot about where to anchor our faith. And the anchor of our faith is to see what Jesus sees. Taking the words of Pope Benedict XVI or Cardinal Ratzinger when he wrote it, he said the essence of the Christian life is a participation of each individual person in what Jesus sees. And what Jesus sees is reality. He sees truth. He sees the truth about the fallen world. He sees the truth about God the Father and God's love, and that's the place. That's home. God is home. God is the source. He's the source of my life. He's the source of my identity. He's the ultimate source of my happiness. Everything that I could ever long for, he holds in the palm of his hand. I was fashioned in the mind and the heart of God. I'm made for a purpose, and that purpose is to live in relationship with him. So, nothing on this earth can take that away from me. I may be a little disappointed that certain things don't end up the way I want them to in this world. I don't accomplish all that I want to accomplish. But the bottom line is, all that's passing anyways. The point I've been trying to make all week, and we can get hooked on taking these secondary things and keeping them in front of us daily as if they're the thing that matters most, and that's what's going to bring me happiness and fulfillment. And that's somehow going to be a legacy that I'm going to leave that matters. No, if we attach ourselves to secondary things and we pursue them like they're first, and we do that our whole lives and we die with those idols, what's going to happen is whatever we thought our legacy would be is going to be swept away. It's going to disappear with those secondary things, with those idols, with that confusion, because it belongs to this world. It doesn't belong to the life of the kingdom to come. Now, what we do on this earth has infinite value if what we do lines up with reality, if We value the things that are most valuable. What will echo into eternity? Love. Deeds of love. Your faith, your hope. I mean, ultimately, love, walking in the footsteps of Christ, giving to God what belongs to God, loving our neighbor, never treating a human being as if they're a means to an end, but asking the question, what does it mean to love? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is tender. Love is gentle. Love is compassionate. Love is understanding. The big question is, do you give to God what belongs to God? Do you love God? Not on your terms. Remember how Jesus defined love? He showed us first, you laid down your life. You put others first. You put God first and God's plan and will. So Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's what love looks like in the kingdom of God. That's how we love God. We give to God what belongs to him. He's God. He's our creator. So what do we owe God? It's a really good question. Obedience, faithfulness, worship, relationship. Give your life to him. That's what comes first. That's what grounds human beings. It's the only thing that will bring us security, identity, the assurance that our life has meaning. That's where it is, and it's nowhere else. There's lots of beautiful passages in the New Testament that kind of break down, where the apostles will break down what it is that Jesus sees, what Jesus has done, so that we can see it, we can understand what Jesus brings us into, what it is we're facing, where we're headed. And there's probably no better chapter in the entire Bible than chapter 8 of St. Paul's letter to the Romans. And I want to start digging through this a little bit today because it'll finally get us to what we've been talking about all week. And he begins chapter 8, verse 1, with a very important truth. He says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. What does he mean? That really the whole human race stands condemned before God. That is, condemned because they're conniving with sin. That is, sin, which is the refusal to do the will of God, it misses the mark that the Lord has set for us. All fall short of the mark and the glory that God has set for us. All have sinned and fall short of that glory. And we live in a relationship that's hostile to God, and we're under condemnation because we're under the power of sin and death. So Paul says, but for those who are in Christ Jesus, there's no longer any more condemnation. And friend, once you've become a new creation in Christ, and through the waters of baptism and through repentance and faith, your sins are washed away, you're no longer subject to the kind of condemnation that was yours, that literally was yours. Why Jesus came and laid down his life for you. He became sin for you. He took upon himself your sin. And you can see the condemnation on sin. Jesus took on sin. He became sin, St. Paul tells us, and he was crucified. And the condemnation that sin stands under is revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And he took it with him. He died the death that would come to every single person. That's eternal death because of sin. He died our death. He took away sin and sin's power. So there's no longer condemnation for anyone who is in Christ, for that's all been dealt with already. Verse 2, he says, for the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. What does he mean by law there? It's like the principle. There's a principle of sin and death that we have within us in our fallen nature, concupiscence. We're attracted to things that offend God. We seek to please ourselves before pleasing him. And I think it's pretty self-evident that that's the case. We know it. We have consciences. We know when we violated our conscience. So that's the law of sin, which leads to death. Paul describes it as the law of sin and death, the principle, the outworking of sin, which produces death. What sets us free from the law of sin and death? The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The life that raised Jesus from the dead, the eternal life that's in him, that conquered death on the cross. conquered the powers of the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's a different principle in Christ. There's a different power in him, a power that's stronger than death itself. As St. Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, a power that death could not hold down. That's the power you need. That's the power I need. We need that power that's in Christ that raised and burst the bonds of all these enslaving powers of the world of flesh and the devil, sin and death. There's a power in Jesus. And Jesus becoming one of us, taking on human flesh, that means there was a power in this human person, Christ. And he burst the bonds of all that power. And he passed from death to life into a new existence, a new way of life, existence beyond death, the future, the only future that is good for humanity. It's a new creation. So it's that power, Paul says, that's at work in us. Verse 3 says, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, couldn't do, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. It's kind of a mouthful there. What is he saying? For God has done something the law couldn't do. Even though the law was meant for good, what does he mean? The Torah, the Old Testament, the commandments. It was meant for good because it shows how we're supposed to live. But in the end, it couldn't give us what we need, and that is new life, this life that raised Jesus from the dead. In fact, what was meant for good, Paul will say later, it ended up condemning us, or maybe he said it earlier in the letter, because it was like a light that was shining on our hearts and revealing, do I love the Lord God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and do I love my neighbor as myself? That's the heart of the law. Does Peter Herbeck perfectly live the law? No, he doesn't. Why? Because he's filled with inordinate self-love. He's got pride. He's got greed and lust and sin. It's present in him. What is it? It's his fallen nature. And so the law could only expose it. It couldn't transform it. It couldn't give me what I needed. What do I need? I need life. I need God's life. And that comes to me, it's the law of the Spirit that's in Christ Jesus. Where's the law of the Spirit? Where's this principle of life? How can I get it? It's in Jesus. That's where it is. That's why Jesus is the only Savior of the world. Only Jesus can give you that life. To the degree that any human being, whether they know Christ or not, ends up receiving that life, it has come from him. It's not their own doing. It's not the result of their own righteousness. It didn't come by virtue of their own particular religion. It can only come through the person of Jesus. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh. Okay, the law was weakened because my flesh couldn't cooperate with it. I didn't want to. It couldn't do. But he sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Jesus became one of us. That's what it means, the incarnation. For what? To die for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus took fallen human nature, my flesh, yours, to the cross. And sinful human nature was put to death. He died a death for me. And he offered his life to God. He gave his life so that he could offer it to us. And what is that life? It's the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's that new life principle. It's the new creation. Friend, that's what's in you. That's what can transform you. That's what can lead you to live a new way of life and come into the joy and happiness that's yours in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God for that. Walk in it today, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.